dear people who keep company with God. The Bible clearly tells us we must never take God's place as the judge. However, judge not that you be not judged is often the cry of those who misapply the verse to ward off censure so they can continue in their sinful actions. This can be very difficult to do, but we must not be intimidated by such people, as sometimes they are actually wolves in sheep's clothing and can bring great hurt to the people of God. Jesus has commanded us to judge with righteous judgment, John 7:24, and the only way we can judge with righteous judgment is to judge with His judgment, not our own opinions, feelings, or rote applications of Scripture. The Bible reveals to us what Jesus' heart is when it comes to making righteous judgments. First, mercy must be the foundation of any judgments we make. James 2:13. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Second, the goal of true righteous judgment must be redemption, restoration, and covering the person or situation in the love of God. Galatians 6:1-2. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. With this as a basis for making judgments, the Bible reveals examples of what believers are responsible to judge. Those examples can be divided into two types: judgments that are to be administered by those who serve the church in some type of leadership capacity, and judgments that we as individual believers are responsible for. Here are some situations that require judgments that should be administered by the church. When believers persist in an unrepentant, sinful lifestyle, they are to be censured by the church. 1 Corinthians 5:19-13. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous and swindlers, or with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of this world. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother, if he is an immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. When believers have a conflict in which they cannot resolve, a wise third party from the church should be brought in to help settle the conflict. 1 Corinthians 6, 1-5. Does any one of you, when he has a case against his brother, dare to go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? If the world is judged by you, are you not competent to constitute the smallest law courts? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more matters of this life? So if you have law courts dealing with matters of this life, do you appoint them as judges who are of no account in the church? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not among you one wise man who will be able to decide between his brethren? When there is a clear manifestation of evil present within the church body, it must be dealt with. Revelation 2:20. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bond servants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. Here are some situations that require us as individual believers to carefully exercise righteous judgment and the corresponding appropriate action. We must make a judgment concerning our relationship with those who continue in a disorderly lifestyle. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you received from us. 2 Thessalonians 3-6. We must make a judgment concerning our relationship with those who continually disobey the Word of God. 2 Thessalonians 3:14-15. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him so that he will be put to shame. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. We must make a judgment concerning our relationship with those who are proud and contentious. 1 Timothy 6:3-5. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. We must make a judgment concerning our relationship with those who are divisive. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites, and by their smooth and flattering speech they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. Romans 16:17-18. Apart from the Holy Spirit's wisdom and guidance, we must never make judgments. However, when the Lord does require us to make a judgment, we can be sure he also gives us the grace and wisdom necessary to obey him. Many blessings. Byron Wicker.